everybody. This is E3 2018. We're hanging out with Tanya DePass, hanging out, Alamir from Starbreeze. We got a chance to check out everything from Overkill's The Walking Dead. We got a chance to do a quick run through of a map. And how is your E3 going so far? How's everything been?
Fantastic, man. It's been a blast. It's been so intense. Yeah. From my perspective, I've done a couple of E3s now, and this one has been the craziest one by far.
Yeah, it's just been so many people coming by and checking out the stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people. And, you know, we're big on community, so we were super happy to see the show opening up to the public.
Yeah.
So seeing all the normal dudes just come in, you know, and dudettes for that matter, you know, just stand in our case, playing The Walking Dead. This E3 is the first time where we are showcasing the game for the first time. Mm-hmm. So it's the first playable ever outside of the studio.
Yeah.
We flew in our developers, so they're manning the booth, just so they can take in as much feedback as possible for the rest of the team back home in Sweden, so we can just make sure it becomes as good of a game as possible.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, for me, I'm familiar with Walking Dead, but not familiar with. This isn't my usual play style of games. Mm-hmm. So for someone who may not usually play this kind of game, what would you say would attract them to it? You know, because it's zombies, it's Walking Dead, people know the franchise. Mm-hmm. What would be your one tip to kind of get them invested in the game?
Yeah, really good question. I would say it's the co-op. A lot of gamers out there are afraid or dislike the idea of playing with other people. Sure. They like to play by themselves, right? And I think with our game and the game we did before, Payday 2, which was also a cooperative game, we now have a long history of making co-op games and making games for people who want to play together. And from my heart to any gamer out there who's on the fence of playing with other people online, just do it. Try it.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, try it with The Walking Dead. We're going to have a close beta closer to launch. The game's going to be on discounts post-launch, etc. But I think that's the key with this game, the ability to play with each other. Because I was in a different conversation where someone was saying, yeah, so how about choices in game? Do you make any? And I said, yeah, all the time, because it's a co-op. You play with a group of three friends, and it's up to you four to survive in Washington, D.C., and what we've done together with Robert Kirkman, who wrote the comics and is the originator of the IP, we worked on it in tandem throughout the entire production. And he's officially blessed the game with his stamp of approval. So all the characters that we can see behind us here on the wall, Aiden, Heather, Maya, and Grant, are now canon. So they're part of the universe. Yeah, and because we're basing the game on the comic book, we're staying true to the core lore of the Walking Dead universe. And our job the past few years making this game has been to realize how Robert would best like to create a world in 3D, in full 3D, that stays true to the Walking Dead universe. And looking at people's reaction playing here at E3, I think we've been successful. Yeah.
That's awesome. With a pedigree as strong as you all have from working on the Playday games and now working on this, what are some of the kind of interesting feedback that you've gotten from some of the older games you're kind of re-implementing in The Walking Dead so that you still have that really strong, core co-op value right there for folks?
I think it comes from the Overkill DNA, from the studio culture.
Sure.
Yeah, so we're a studio that has grown massively the past 5 years.
Yeah.
When we were making Payday 2, we were 30 people. When we're making Walking Dead, you know, there's so many more developers involved, right? Because it's the latest technology and the latest everything. But I think what we've taken with us is just all the experience. Because with Payday 2, we continued developing the game post-launch. So even now, 5 years after the game came out, it came out in 2013, we're still updating Payday 2 with content from the Stockholm headquarter office, where we're also developing Overkill's The Walking Dead. And by saying that, I want to tell anyone out there who's curious about the game that not only is it worthwhile your investment at launch, we also want to invite people to be there from the get-go and part of the journey going forward. Because this is a game that we, together with Robert and his team, want to work on for a long time. Mm. And we want to see players experience it from the beginning and hear where they want to take the story. Because this is a game that we want to build together. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. Since the game is relies so heavily on co-op and encourages it, is there anything in place to, like, let's say you get that one person who wants to run ahead of everyone, or the person who's like, you know, they're not good at the game per se, but you don't want to penalize them. So is there a way to kind of penalize bad players, and is there a way to kind of help along a player that really does want to get into it but is struggling a little bit?
Really good question. I think it has, I was about to say natural selection. Especially in the first case, not in the second, because anyone who's bad at a video game or needs to get better, you know, that's the beauty of video games. That's what it's all about, right? Teaching each other to play games and becoming better at it together. At least when it comes to co-op, that's it for sure. But I mean, look at any single player game out there. There's a reason why there are so many websites focusing on guides, etc., right? And you guys are hardcore gamers, you know what I'm talking about. There, the culture, maybe not anymore in the same way in the past, but remember when they were doing magazines for real?
Oh yeah.
And they were doing so many numbers where, like, here are all the cheat codes you need, here are all the, you know, here, you know, you would have big books of guides through the entire games, right? And with the advent of the internet and everything, and with you guys and podcasts, the landscape is changing rapidly. So I think for gamers that aren't that good at games, they definitely need to just jump in. And for this game, it's a challenging game for sure, but the challenge is manageable depending on how your play style is. So if you are a player that are very aggressive, you will have a more challenging experience because you will make more noise, because the game's difficulty is dependent on the player's actions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the more noise the player makes, true to the universe of The Walking Dead, the more walkers you attract. So if you start firing with a weapon and it doesn't have a silencer, or you broke it, then people are going to start hearing. And I say people, I mean both the undead and the walkers, but also bandits.
Yeah.
Because the game centers around the human enemies, of course, because any Walking Dead fan out there knows that the walkers, of course, are a constant threat in the world, but the real enemy are the people. Because you know what a walker wants, but you have no idea what a human wants.
Yeah. That was a fun part of the demo. That was actually, like, we had a really interesting part where we're like, oh no, now everybody is here, and they've heard us, and now they're trying to kill us too.
Because
walkers are great, because you can, like, chop at them, and then they walk slow, and they shamble, and all that stuff. But then you start getting shot in the behind, and you're like, oh, okay, well, now I have to try to figure out what I'm going to do.
The mission you guys got to play is part of Georgetown, which is an area in Washington, D.C. And the purpose of that mission is not only to survive, but Anderson, who is the camp leader of your camp, sent you out to retrieve the water purifier that was stolen by the family, which is another group of bandits. Well, another group. It is a group of bandits. You're not bandits. you're just survivors trying to get by. So obviously, conflict happens, right? And that's, you know, the core of the Walking Dead universe is conflict, human conflict, and human drama. So we, of course, have to take back the purifier, and that's what you guys got to experience. Did you ever get the opportunity to reach the end of the mission?
No, we didn't get a chance because we were on the ground for half the mission. Those bear traps are no joke.
They're no joke, especially if you're in the middle of combat and you happen to step into one.
I have nightmares about those bear traps.
Me too.
Better bear trap than a walker.
True.
Your face off.
Yeah. True.
The cool thing about the bear traps is that bandits can go into them. Anyone can, right? So sometimes you find a walker there. Sometimes you don't even find the walker. You just find his leg.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
In terms of the enemies and you know, fighting the bandits, fighting the walkers, will things kind of ramp up with your difficulty and as you level? Or what's the kind of progression system like?
Yeah, very good question. Definitely the game will ramp up as you progress. So the more time you spend in the game, the bigger your camp's going to get, the more survivors you're going to attract, the more equipment you're going to have as you venture into Washington, D.C. to continue looting. So for us, replayability is one of the key factors of a game. And the heart of a game is, of course, the gameplay itself. Because if a game is not fun, what's the point in playing? Right?
Mm.
And with a game that is multiplayer, the fun can be amplified by the people you're playing with in a different way, I believe, than single players can. So it's all a question about gameplay. And what I mean when I say that, I mean ambience, making sure that we capture the sound of The Walking Dead. Not only the walkers doing their noises and their etc., but also making sure the gun sounds are beautiful and that they sound right. Having made first-person shooters in the past, we know how big of a thing it is for people who enjoy guns,
yeah,
that they need to sound correctly, they need to act correctly, they need to look as they do, right? And with the Walking Dead universe, everything's broken, right? Since the outbreak, nothing works anymore. So you have to find and make do with what you can. So the weapons you find will not be mint condition. The silencer you find will break. The weapons will jam.
Yeah.
And the scopes, when you try to aim down them, will be broken. So you'll have a hard time seeing what's going on. Yeah.
That's
going
to really make it hard.
Yeah. And it's all coming in different grades of bad and good, right? So you might be lucky. You might find a mint condition thing, right? Yeah. But make sure you keep it for yourself.
Don't give it away. I want to piggyback off of what Tanya was talking about as far as difficulty ramping up. I also want to kind of pivot to talking about the progression for your characters too. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see that each character has a very special ability and has a specific purpose to build out in the team. Can you talk a little bit about kind of how some of that progression for individual folks in your squad will look?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, you play one of four different survivors: Heather, Maya, Aiden, and Grant. And you, as part of the Anderson camp, you venture into DC to find loot and other things, right? And as you progress through the game, as you play more and more of these missions, you can also venture deeper and deeper into Washington.
Mm.
So in the beginning, you might not be able to go that far, right? Because you don't have that much food, you don't have that much stuff at all. But as you go on, you're not only going to get more experience and level up and be able to pick what skills you want, you will also be get access to new weapons.
Mm.
Modifications, different skills and items that you can use in order to make life easier, but also you know, in a tight spot, make sure that you come winning out of it.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that, because that was the thing that when we were trying to figure out, you know, who was going to do what and who picked what. Then looking at their skills, it's like, oh, okay, you can definitely help me here.
Yeah. And that's the difference, I think, with a single-player game and a multiplayer game. In a single-player game, you only need to care about what you pick, right? So it becomes one-sided in a way.
Yep.
Whereas this one-dimensional, whereas in this, there's so many things to think about. If you're a group of four, or maybe you're just playing two, you need to really, really coordinate who takes what. All right, you took a shotgun. That means that you're really good at CQB combat. I probably should get a sniper just to make sure in case we see someone far away.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to just scout the area, right? Using, for example, Grant, who's the tactician. But also, you know, just to make sure that you can cover any kind of situation that might appear in the game. Because I've been in so many groups of survivors where, you know, you're not equipped to handle the situation. And that sucks. But, you know, it sucks because it was your own fault. Right?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. Yeah.
True.
One more thing about, you know, kind of progression and leveling. How much of a detriment is if, like, everyone picks the same kind of character? Because we had that option during the demo, mm-hmm. and luckily we didn't all do it, but let's say everyone picks, like, I forgot her name, who uses the crossbow.
Yeah.
So you got four people and playing you all Heather, have the same skills.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about the game is that we made the characters and didn't allow people to create their own because we want to tell a story. And we want to properly craft characters that people can care about, that have a storyline throughout the game and that people can relate to. But what we don't want to do is that we don't want the story to conflict the gameplay.
Hmm.
So hypothetically speaking, if someone wants to play the same character, we should allow them to, even though we think it's ugly or unrealistic.
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah.
Or, you know, imbalanced.
You know. Or maybe I don't like the character or whatever, right? But we want people to have that opportunity. And of course, like with any game we make, we're flexible. If there's something not working properly or if it's something just looking weird, we'll address it. And if it's a question of it being a fan favorite thing or whatever, we'll make sure we're as transparent as possible in the communication with the community. But at the end of the day, what do we want to do? We want to make sure people have an opportunity, a world, to have as much fun as they can in, right?
Yeah.
And in our case, violence, action, momentum, you know, all of these things.
Yeah.
That's the important stuff.
Yeah. One of the things that people love the most about The Walking Dead is the fact that the characters are so vast and that they are so so plenty.
Yeah.
But you always have the folks who everyone wants to see in a Walking Dead game. Is there going to be any kind of crossover with any other kind of more well-known characters that we've already become used to?
That would be cool, but that's something that we can't say now. I mean, what our focus is right now is to make sure we get our original story out there for launch.
Sure.
And what's going to happen after that, we call it the lifeline instead of it being a deadline. Because what some developers do is that they make a game and then they walk away, right? Whether or not it might be in a work for hire situation, they were asked to make a game and they're done, or it might be that they don't have the tools or resources or what have you. But we have a very clear vision of where we want to take Oracle's The Walking Dead. Looking at our history, players can see with their own eyes that we stay true to our words. You know, we've continued to develop Payday 2 for the past 5 years post its launch. It's almost up in 200 post-launch updates,
wow,
both paid and free. Wow. And our ambition is even greater with Oracle's The Walking Dead. I mean, with it, with the launch of the game, we hope to have created a foundation that we can continue to build on together with the community. Because we know that there are so many people out there who just love the universe.
Oh, yeah.
And they just want to get involved somehow.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
with Robert on board and him being so excited about the game, I think we're in a very good position, you know, to do some really cool shit together.
Yeah.
That's essentially it, right?
Yeah.
And to go, so how about that? And people go, yeah, you know what? I prefer we go this way, you know? And it's that's how we roll. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Got a last question?
We covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, I think everybody...
Happy to be back whenever, guys.
Please,
we
would love to reach out and, you know, post-launch have you on the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do a little Bring up stream with us.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
bring stuff up, see what we can do.
Maybe we could chop some zombies together. That would be fun, too.
Yeah, I'd probably have to leave you guys behind, though, because I'm not that good at fighting, though. But I'm a good talker, so
If you can figure out how to get some Overkill-branded bear traps into the system, that would be pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm
taking a mental note right now.
Yeah, that's a good PAX pin right there.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Alamir, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
We
had a blast talking with you. We had a blast playing
the
game.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. It's a privilege being here, you know, at the show. It's such a unique thing in our industry, and you know, this is what it's all about, right? Talking about video games, playing video games, and seeing how we can make them better together.
Yeah. Yep. So when do you think things are going to be dropping for folks out in the world?
We are live with the final release date. So Overkill's The Walking Dead is coming out on PC, Steam, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One on November 6th.
Badass.
In America, both North and South, and in Europe and the rest of the world on November 8th, 2 days after. So, yeah.
Awesome.
The hype is real.
Nice. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Everybody in Chicago, we're going to get up out of here for this episode. Everyone go check out The Walking Dead when it drops because it's really, really cool. So definitely go out there and cop that. Cool.
All
peace.
Right. Later.